Publishers of art books, Lawrence King Press, are putting out two short hardbacks that serve as an introduction to the work of Francis Bacon and Paul Gauguin. They're simply called This is Bacon and This is Gauguin. Brian Fay has been reading the books for us and he's in studio with me now. Who are the books aimed at, Brian? Because I guess this tells us a lot about the style of the publication.
Yeah, when I first started into these, I didn't know who they were for. They're small, slightly bigger than A5 sized hardback books, but 80 pages and 50 colour illustrations. Very, very handsome in their design. The text is laid out with sort of small bite sized chapters. So each chapter is made up of at most three paragraphs. And within that, the publishers have commissioned illustrators. So there's almost a visual identity, or not quite a house style, but certainly a strong look to these things, which makes them read in a kind of curious way. So I found sometimes there was a confusion between what these books were trying to do. Are they trying to give us a straightforward biography? Are they trying to do something else? Are they trying to showcase illustration? And I was so kind of confused as to what they were. I asked my 13-year-old daughter. I said, "Would this is you know this isn't appealing to a 45-year-old man? Who is this for?" And she had a look at them and she felt that they were quite schoolbook like. In terms of how the text and the things were laid out as well,
yeah,
too.
There is that
and some of the language of it as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, if I look at, for example, I'm looking at what is the first chapter in both books. In the case of Gauguin, the first paragraph is entitled "A Tempestuous Birth." Then the second paragraph, "A Distinguished Family." Third paragraph, "Childhood in Peru." When we look at the Bacon book, the first paragraph, "The Eyes and the Grinding Up," and the Sylvester interviews. So from both of those, you know, I'm wondering the sort of information that they're giving out, how straightforward is it, or how does it approach its two subjects in this case, but obliquely?
Yeah, it is certainly oblique. And I think that it's quite racy and pacey. Like some of the titles that you listed out there, I counted with Bacon, there was six different headings that would just last 10 pages. So it's quite racy through a kind of potted biography. And then they do successfully identify key works and they discuss those, not in length. Nothing is in length in these. And I think that's maybe some of the confusion as to what it's at. It's not like people might be familiar with the world of our Thames and Hudson series of books, which are thick paperbacks, usually 400 or 500 pages with a black spine. And you know what you're getting. It's serious enough writing and the images are kept separately. This is trying to do something else, but I don't think it's fully successful. And I think it falls between a lot of stools in terms of what this series is trying to do.
So the Lawrence King Press, they have done stuff for teenage and for that sort of somebody who's starting out in their study of art. They have looked at that market before and done well, I believe.
They have. Oh, no, they're a heavy publisher in that sense. I mean, a couple of titles that stood out was Let's Make Some Great Art and Arcadoodle, which is lovely. It's the Architect's Activity book. So they have looked at that market about how to bring people in to looking at contemporary visual art and visual culture. And then they have the heavy-hitting ones. There's a fantastic book on animation by Andrew Selby and a really good contemporary drawing book called Walk the Line. And that's an excellent publication. So they have a pedigree in this and they've obviously identified a market. I wonder with this particular one, are they clear in what they're doing in terms of wanting to know, is this going to hit that market? Because sometimes the text falls into the standard kind of heroic narrative of the tortured genius, the individual artist who nobody understood. And they don't necessarily completely contextualize where the work was coming from, what the other influences were. So they kind of, like, dare I say, have a sort of adolescent trajectory to the life. You do get that sort of isolation.
So there's no ambiguity. There's no subtlety around the nature of the artist and how he or she might be expressing him or herself. It's very, no, they're a tortured soul and they work it out through their work.
Yeah, and they're not afraid of kind of making really bold claims. Like, there was one large claim in the Francis Bacon one that just stood out for me. He said, and it was on page 6, he said, "Artists are not always good at putting what they do into words, but Bacon had a talent for talking and provided some of the best things ever articulated about art and the impulse to make it." really? Yeah. I don't know.
I suppose it's a fairly big claim. Need to make lots of arguments about if you were actually to stand over that academically.
I think so.
I think one of the points that it's important to really flesh out, though, is the nature of the illustrations, because there are two types of illustrations. Obviously, there are reproductions of the artist's works, and then there are these other illustrations in there. First of all, the reproductions of the artist's works. I'm looking, for example, now at still from the film Battleship Potemkin in the Bacon book. That's a very good still.
Mm-hmm.
But where does it fit in with the other illustrations? On the previous page, there's an illustration of a naked woman in bed, and I don't know who it's by.
Yeah, I found that really problematic with the book. As you say, there are three strands going on. There are photographic stills that are like proper historical photographic documentation. There is the work of the artists, which I think suffer because, well, one, they're on black with a small white line going around the outside. So it tends to suffocate the work, especially for artists like Gauguin and Bacon, whose colour is quite important. And then you have the commissioned work by the illustrators, which I suppose is to sort of open up, is to have this unique visual identity. But the illustrator who was paired with the Bacon is Christina Cristoforo. Apologies if I have that incorrectly. The style of illustration is very scratchy and quite pencil-like and a sort of faux naive look to it. And it's even on the cover.
Almost like a bit of a Van Gogh more than anything else.
Yeah, it's problematic in that it doesn't have a relationship to Bacon's work at all. I think more so with the Gauguin book, there is some form of sympathy to the imagery that Gauguin was generating and how the illustrator responded to it. But that's definitely more sympathetic in Gauguin. Bacon, the book really suffers, I think, quite badly because the illustrations seem out of key. And just tell us what's happening in the text.
Now, you do actually have, I think particularly in the case of the Bacon book, you said there are things about these books that are good.
There are, and especially I think for Dublin, the Dublin City Gallery, the Hugh Lane, does really well out of the Bacon book. And I think if it is as an introduction for people, you know, to get that foregrounded really quickly is great. They also give very good bibliography and resources on the back. So they are like a gateway publication through. I mean, I don't want to put people off. I just think there's a slight muddled message that's coming out through them. But while saying that, they're quite beautifully, handsomely produced books.
All right, Brian Fay talking to us there about the new books. This is Bacon, published this month. This is Gauguin, which is due out in October, both published by Lawrence King Press. I wanted to leave a little bit of time for myself and for you, in fact, Brian. The Derwent Art Prize 2014, the winner has been announced in the drawing category. Who is it?
Some guy from Dublin, I think. Yeah, I literally just got a tweet before.
It's yourself, Brian.
Before
Faye.
We came on air. Yeah. So I apologise to Bacon and Gauguin for not being as focused on them as perhaps I should be.
Tell me a little bit about what the prize was and what you entered and what it means to win it for you.
The Derwent Art Prize, it's in its second year. It's Derwent are a pencil company and they have an international open submission and there were three judges, one from the drawing room in London. She's a really interesting curator, and Anita Taylor, who's an academic and artist in drawing. It's in its second year, open submission, international. I think they have over 3,000 entries and they picked 80 works to go in the show, and I am really fortunate to have
congratulations
one of my two
on that.
Out of that. So yeah,
great. Okay, congratulations on that, and continued success in that aspect of your career. Brian Fay, one of the winners of this year's Derwent Art Prize 2014.